Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Fiction. Science fiction. Horror. Fantasy. Crime. LGBT.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
FM Riverside
and 1050 AM Palm Springs.
Welcome back into the House of Mystery. I'm Al Warren. Mr. Dave Martino is here, seeing his way through that Canadian smoke.
I know you're saying it all our way, Al.
It's my fault.
It's my fault.
You know, it's how I work. You know? Let's get that blowing smoke up your ass.
That's right.
I said that to someone. They got upset.
The sun was red. I don't know about the moon.
The moon is gone.
Yeah.
We sold it for cheese.
That's right.
Okay. Well, let's move on today. Our guest today, we've got someone that's got a new documentary film out or coming out. We'll talk about all the release dates and where you can get it. Now, it's called Americon, and we've got the director, Sean Claffey. So thank you for being here, Sean.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sean, what's going on here? You've got this movie out, or the coming out. Tell us what the basic premise or what it is about that you want people to see in this movie.
Well, basically, it's a film about income inequality, the fall of the middle class, and most importantly, the erosion of the path to the middle class in America. But it's not just in America. It's really a worldwide story happening all over.
What made you decide to do this?
Well, so I was approached by Dave Pedersen, who was the producer of Supersize Me, and Jeff Mann, also another producer, which they came with this with an idea about doing a film about income inequality. And coming from a immigrant family, you know, my grandparents immigrated from Ireland in the 20s, and you know, when they came out of abject poverty and then came to the United States and kind of worked as servants until you know, the New Deal was put in effect, the labor protections were put in effect, and they were able to ascend rapidly into the working class and then the middle class in America, which you know, it was a great benefit to our family. But then during my lifetime, I've slowly watched it, and now more increasingly, more quickly, have watched the fall of the middle class. And, you know, we've basically seen a redistribution of about $50 trillion from the bottom 90% of Americans to the top 1%. That's not sustainable. And that's, you know, it's really an existential threat to democracy here.
So what do you attribute that to? Is it the system of capitalism itself, or do you think it's the, let's say, unregulated or less regulated corporations, or what do you apply it to?
Well, we had, you know, capitalism during, you know, after the Depression and all the way through 1975, and people did great. But what has happened is about 1968 to 70, Milton Friedman, his doctrine of basically dismantling the New Deal and the protections on the middle class, the protections of the workers, his true belief, almost a religious belief, that the only purpose of a corporation is for its profits. It's not for social building, you know, a good middle class, not for workers, not for the environment, not for anything. And that idea was adopted through a lot of the, you know, the business schools, and certainly picked up by the Koch brothers, who instituted a plan that, you know, basically funded all these lobbyists and installed all the Supreme Court judges and the federal judges through the Federal Society, and really has taken away the power of the voting people. So it was slow at first, you know, and then Reagan really put it into high gear by crushing the air traffic controllers, and then it was basically open season on all the workers' protections and the unions in the country.
Yeah, I was going to say that the Reagan era was the first big crush on the middle class, as far as I see it.
Yeah, the plan started about 10, 12 years before, but with it, once they got Reagan in office, then it really exploded.
I have to wonder, but what's the end game for corporations or the high-end money? What's the end game? Because they've got so much now, and by continuing to do what they do, like, you know, after the COVID and then all the prices go up, but yet, you know, chains of grocery stores are making record profits, so it's not like they're giving up anything. So what's the answer to that? I mean, because I don't understand where they want to take it, because they want a revolution, or they just want people to be homeless. Like, what is the end game of the rich, so to speak?
You know, several of the experts in the film, we also follow families that are going through this, but several of the experts in the film, like Kurt Anderson, you know, states that basically they're killing the golden goose. Nick Hanauer, who's a billionaire himself, basically states that capitalism won't work if no one has any money, right? Because there's no one to buy the stuff. And that there's sort of this almost hysterical or hallucinatory idea that I'm not going to pay my employees enough to buy my stuff, but every other CEO has to pay their employees enough to buy my stuff. That doesn't make any sense at all. And in the long term, they're gonna crash it all. But really, the CEOs now, the majority of the large businesses, they didn't found those companies, right? So they're in it for the short term quarterly profits. And once they achieve those profits for 8 quarters or 12 quarters, they bail out with a massive package. You know, they're making $30 million a year. Maybe they bail out with $150 million at the end because they hit their numbers. Or more. They don't care. They're not thinking long term. They're thinking about what can I get now? And, you know, the old thing from Wall Street, the movie, and it was like, what do you want more? Well, I think it's even worse than that now. I think it's they want it all.
Well, what's the point if the country falls apart and everyone's in a bad state? Like, I just don't see a happy ending here.
No, and one thing I do say often is, what are they going to do? They're going to live in a bunker in New Zealand and hope their security team doesn't turn on them? I mean, it doesn't make any sense, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, psychologically, I think our producer, Jeff Mann, says this often, and I didn't necessarily agree with him in the beginning, but I think I agree with him now, that it's almost a hoarding psychological issue. So it's an obsessive thing that it may not, it's not good for the country or society, and in the end it probably won't be good for them either, but it's sort of this obsession to hoard wealth that is really at play here. And then, you know, some of those CEOs set that tone, and then the other ones just want to match it.
So when you set out to do this film, and it's taken you some time, how did you go about it, and how were people when you were going out making the film and interviewing?
We grabbed a couple of cameras, threw it in the back of my station wagon. We drove across country and did a bunch of interviews with like Nick Hanauer, April Sims, who's a labor leader out there, and we just started, right? And then as we were going, we started meeting more people, and you know, we shot in 23 states. We drove 32,000 miles crisscrossing because, you know, if you're filming with a family, you know, you have to go back several times to see the changes that are happening. But the eye-opening thing was that everyone we spoke to, and not just on camera, but, you know, just traveling so much, understood that there's a problem, but doesn't understand why. And then when they've been suffering for so long, for decades, you know, basically, especially rural America, whose wages are half of what they were in 1975, they get angry, and then they're easily manipulated. And that's what you're seeing. You're seeing these people who have been angry They've been promised the world by every politician, and now they're pissed. And they're like, you know what? You know, every week I work 40, 50, 60 hours, and I'm worse off at the end of the week than I was at the beginning of the week. How about we just burn it all, you know, burn it all, not all of them, but some of them, you know, burn it all down. It's really troubling.
You hope the movie does.
Well, making the movie, you know, we ran into a bunch of people that are making massive changes and are organizing and getting together and fighting back. And that really gives me a lot of hope, especially with the younger generation. You know, we're following Chris Smalls, and he basically, him and like a 7-person team went up against the most powerful employer and at the time the richest man in the world, Jeff Bezos, and was able to do the biggest unionization in 75 years in Staten Island, New York, where they unionized the warehouse there. And basically 9,000 people unionized all at once without a backing union, you know, just grassroots from scratch. Bezos spent $25 million to defeat them, had them arrested, all sorts of stuff, and they still won. So if 7 people who had nothing, they had nothing, were able to do that, imagine what if we all come together and demand it be fairer, what could happen. And it, you know, we did this before in this country, you know. In the 20s, it was just the depression and incredible inequality, income inequality and wealth inequality. And they flipped that, and they were able to build the greatest middle class in the world. So I have a lot of hope.
Well, you know, you mentioned back in 1975. And, you know, I remember back in the 1980s when, you know, I had, well, it was basically friends of family and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And family friends who were factory workers. And back then we had a lot of factories in this country with good jobs. Do you think that bringing back manufacturing to the United States is part of the answer?
I think that's part of it. I think there is so much money here that there is no reason why anyone that works hard shouldn't have a good life. There is absolutely no reason. This raising wages kills jobs is a complete fallacy. It is a negotiating tactic to negotiate against all employees all at once. If no one has any money, who's going to buy the stuff, right? You know, that's what Nick Hanauer says in our film. And it's really, when I was young, you could work in a hardware store, not own the hardware store, work in a hardware store, have a house that you own and a car and go on vacation. You could be a cashier and get a pension. And now that, you know, and that could happen right now. Any of, you know, especially Bezos, he could raise his wages to $30 an hour tomorrow. He'd still be one of the richest men in the world. We did the math, you know, he wouldn't be, I think he's like 3 or 4 right now. He, you know, maybe he'd be 8. There'd be zero change in his lifestyle. And all the other companies would have to match. And with the change that would bring, you know, we're seeing these suicide rates go up, the drug addiction go up. These are all, you know, direct results of people just giving up, you know. It's sad.
Why do you think Bezos, like, I don't want to just pick on him, because it could be...
No, and we shouldn't.
No.
He's just one of them.
No, yeah, he's just one. That's sort of what I mean. But people like him, who actually started out as an average person, let's just say, working, and has created something that's done really well, and it's been very successful, and it's made him a lot of money. I always wonder, but it's not just him. There's several of these billionaire people that have made it, but they seem to get really tight when they get up at the top. Like, they're not really, it's almost like they don't remember where they come from.
Yeah, like the owner of Starbucks, who grew up not far from me in the projects in Brooklyn.
Right.
And, yeah, I think they start believing their PR, right? That they are so great and so better than everyone else. And then they stop viewing regular people as worthy. And, you know, that's tragic. It's almost a narcissism, you know, or maybe it is a narcissism. I think that word's used too much, but they didn't do it.
Yeah.
It was, in the beginning, it was probably a couple dozen people or, you know, a few people that helped them. I'm sure they all worked very, very hard. And I get that. And they should be rewarded, but not at the cost of, you know, the collapsing the middle class. Or seeing authoritarianism rise here. It's not, you know, we're seeing the regurgitation of, you know, messaging we heard that was heard in the 30s, you know, that it's the refugees to blame. It's the, depending on where you are, you know, the people coming off the, across the border that's to blame. It's people that don't look like me that's to blame. It's the different religions to blame. You know, that's very dangerous rhetoric that's going around. And that's not just, you know, on dark web pages. I mean, that's in national news.
Yeah. Yeah. You see it in political parties now. It's nothing that is hidden. It's very open. I just don't quite understand, why it goes that way. Well, I mean, I guess I understand it, but I just think it's crazy. So you said you had hope and that, you see things, good things happening and stuff. What do you think the answer is? Help us out here.
Yeah. So the only answer is that you have to organize. So the only way to combat immense wealth is by immense numbers. And we are still able to vote here in this country. So, we need to vote out everyone that is not helping build up the middle class, and through messaging, show what's really going on. You know, when you can have, Amazon has 2,500 lobbyists. I mean, when you have that many lobbyists, you know, it's insane. You know, we have to get rid of these politicians that are taking the political money. I mean, that needs to be our focus. Also, you know, getting people elected on a local and state levels. But what we're seeing in Minnesota right now is amazing, you know, and in Michigan, you know, they've achieved incredible things by just in the last few months, by getting the right people in place there and getting the message out so people understand. It was troubling to me that people didn't understand what was going on. They knew that everything was wrong, that something was wrong, but they weren't sure why. So that's my job, and people like me need to get that out there, and everyone else, and spreading the message.
Well, there's so much attention given to things that don't really matter. Like even the politicians, all they talk about, the don't say gay, or it's, there's always some sort of thing that they're talking about, and it's not about how things are running. Do you know what I mean? Like it's not. Like,
so do you know why they're talking about those specific things? So the Koch brothers, but not just the Koch brothers, right? Fund these think tanks, right? Like the Heritage Foundation or Cato or these different ones that do polling, and they find out what are wedge issues, and how do they, and how to ask that question the right way to make it a wedge issue. So whether it's the school stuff where, they're teaching your kids things that are going to, go against your beliefs, or, so they start banning all the books. So then that all of a sudden that becomes a major wedge issue, or they're trying to make the children pedophiles. Well, that's a regurgitation of what they were talking about in Germany, right? Where the Jewish people were doing bad things to the children, right? They know how to, because they're not offering anything for the people, right? So they have to make these issues so that the people turn on each other. And it's planned. It's like an advertising agency that goes through this marketing plan, and then they disseminate these talking points on a daily or weekly basis to all the politicians.
But you end up getting people that vote against probably what would be better for them, just because they don't want a drag queen reading to their kids or reading in a library or something. Like they talk about, these things that really aren't affecting their life, period. It wouldn't be part of their life if it wasn't something they weren't told.
Yeah, it's manufactured. You know, if someone wearing a dress, drinking a beer you don't like already, and you're obsessing about that's in the news cycle for how long? I mean, that's all on purpose.
Yeah.
And, so the abortion, it used to be abortion and guns, right? That was their go-tos. And now they won the abortion thing. So they have to reinvent other things. And this is the scariest part. I mean, you're seeing this not just in this country, but also in Hungary, in Poland, certainly in Russia, that they're trying to abuse your children. They're trying to make your children gay. They're pedophiles. So we need to enact these laws that'll just temporarily take away your freedoms. But because your children are in danger, you'll be willing to do that, and we'll promise we'll give those back. Poland just lost their they lost the free judicial system a couple of years ago, and they're proposing a law now that the current administration can deny anyone from running for office if chooses. You know, Hungary lost their judicial system and their free press. Israel is on the verge of losing their judicial system. The Federal Society has changed our Supreme Court for probably 10, 20 years.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not a good foresight. Did you get any blowback yourself, like when you were out there doing this kind of work and trying to put together the film and talking to people? Did you get any negative response?
Yeah, we had the cops called on us a bunch of times, especially when we were in Orlando filming. There was this apartment complex that was filled with single moms, and they would just abuse them, you know. So the landlords would call the cops on me all the time. But then I would just talk to the cops, and I'd tell them what the landlord's doing. And they were like, what? And I turned their opinion against the landlords. And one of the guys was, like, abusive to the women. And he said, well, if you see him, call us up, and we'll arrest him. I find that when I talk to people in a calm manner and explain, they get it.
Yeah, most people are, you know, unless they're extreme or they're, you know. Do you think you'll get, when this comes out, do you think you're going to get some media, you know, Tucker Carlson coming after you?
That would be great. I would love to talk to Tucker or Sean Hannity. That would be amazing. It's really hard to argue against building up the middle class, or, you know, making the middle class number one, or the path to middle class number one. It's almost impossible. How do you argue against that? You can stutter.
Yeah.
You know, I'm basically for democracy, the middle class, and the path to the middle class for every hardworking American. And if you're not for that, or I don't know what to say. And I've talked to many conservative people, you know, and you know they even except, I mean, there are some that are, you know, you're just never going to get to, right? They're almost like a religious fanaticism. For most people, they know that something's wrong, and you start telling them why, and you just see that their eye in the glint, and they're like, they start to put it together. And anyone that watches the film, you can't unsee this film. You know, and it's not just about experts. We follow all these families that are suffering, and then some that triumph. You know, it's not like a depressive movie. It's an inspirational movie about a depressing subject. And in the end, you know, you really do come away with wanting to do something to make change.
Yeah, but how do we know you're not Antifa?
I don't know. I don't really even know what they are. You know, I
it's a false flag. This is Alex Jones is going to come after you.
Yeah, it's all right. Alex Jones is a pretty awful person. Yeah. a good friend of mine had their kids that I grew up with in Sandy Hook, and he's an evil person.
Yeah.
He went after them, caused them to have to move like six times, sending his nut jobs after them, after their kid was killed.
Pretty yeah. Crazy, you know, that guy. So now, where are people going to be able to see this? Let's talk about the release date and places, and what can you tell us about that?
Sure. So theatrically, it's being released on June 9th, Friday, in New York and L.A. You can go to our website at www.americond.com. and get all the information on how to see it. It'll be released for streaming on June 13th in North America, and it'll be in many different places, Apple TV, iTunes, Tubi, YouTube, and many others. And you can just go to the website and click and choose the one you like the best and see it. It's available right now for pre-order on Apple and iTunes to buy for $12, and I think that to rent it, it's going to be around $5 or something.
Okay. Well, we'll have all of that up on the website as well, so people can find it easily. Again, the movie, Americond. The director's with us. That's Sean Claffey. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Sean.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
show is over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show is over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.